This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
The story of Doctors Catherine and Reg Hamlin has been told in the book Hospital by the River. Now, the book tells of their work with Ethiopian women at the Addis Ababa Fistula Hospital. Well, a new documentary screening on SBS tells the ongoing story of the maternal health work that continues in Ethiopia today, with Dr. Catherine Hamlin still very much involved after her husband passed away some years ago. Annette Bennett is from the Hamlin College of Midwives, and she features quite heavily, actually, in the new documentary called Lighting a Candle, A Midwife for Every Mother. Annette Bennett joins me on the phone from Ethiopia. Hi, Annette. What's it like to be a movie star? Did you enjoy the process of filming the documentary?
I enjoy the fact that that we can tell people about the work that we're doing here, and I think it was really exciting to see the students as well become part of that film.
Have you actually seen the whole movie yet, Annette?
Yeah, Katrina, to be honest, I haven't watched the whole final production. I did watch some of the footage, obviously, during some of the editing process, but I find it really hard to watch myself, so I haven't seen the whole thing.
So how did this film come about? Who instigated it?
Well, I think the people who made the film, they actually made some films in the past around Dr. Hamlin's work, and each of them gave their time for free and really wanted to show the next stage of what was happening in the Fistula Hospital with our expansion and also with the introduction of the Midwifery College. And, of course, it came about with also the 50-year celebration of the Hamlin's work in Ethiopia. And to celebrate that and to also emphasise that we were opening the college.
The college, of course, is something that you're very involved with. Before we get to that, though, how did you first become drawn into the work of the Addis Ababa Fistula Hospital?
Well, actually, it was my husband, Mark Bennett, who actually was invited to be the CEO of the hospital. Mm-hmm. And of course, we came along with him. That's myself and our four children. But I am a midwife. And at first, I wasn't sure what my involvement would be and whether they would need me at all, because the hospital has some brilliant nurses who are working in the hospital. But then as time went on and after I'd done a bit of language training, Dr. Hamlin asked, would I start a college to train midwives?
Wasn't that actually the Hamlin's original vision for going to Ethiopia, that they wanted to train midwives?
Yes, that's right. The Hamlin's actually answered an advertisement in The Lancet, a medical journal, that was inviting obstetricians, gynecologists to come to Ethiopia and train doctors in obstetrics and also to try and train midwives. So in 1959, that was originally why they came to Ethiopia.
Wow.
But at that time, there were some challenges with funding the training of midwives, and so they were asked to just focus on working in the maternity area in a hospital here, and then obviously they became aware of the terrible problem of fistula, and that became their focus.
For those not familiar with fistula, just because we are talking about that term, it's not really a common problem in this part of the world. Can you just explain what it is and how many women are affected by it?
Basically, a fistula is an abnormal opening from the inside of the body to the outside. And when we talk about obstetric fistula, this has come about because a baby's head has become stuck inside the bony inside the pelvis of the mother and cannot pass through the birth canal. And it can either be because the baby's head is slightly larger, or it's because the mother's pelvis is too small, or it's because perhaps the baby isn't entering the pelvis in the right way. And you can have this disproportion of between the pelvis and the baby's head happen in any population. But, of course, in our own countries where we have good midwifery care and where we have good obstetric care and women are monitored throughout labour, we know when this problem occurs and we take the necessary care to ensure that she has a safe delivery of her baby. But in a country like Ethiopia, where you actually have 94% of women giving birth in their home, in a village, without a medically trained person, with just an older woman in the family or an older woman in the village, those women are not being cared for throughout their labour in a way that will save them when there is this problem. And so you have a woman going into labour and that baby being pushed down into her pelvis. But if there is a disproportion, if the baby's head is slightly large, or what is the case in Ethiopia where a lot of women have actually a very small pelvis, either because they are young when they're giving birth or because they haven't had enough nutrition in their childhood to grow to a full stature, so their pelvis is quite small. And then that baby's head is pushing inside. The baby's bone basically is crushing against the mother's bone of her pelvis, and the soft tissue that is caught in between loses its blood supply, and that tissue will die, and leaving a hole. It's not a tear, it's an actual hole. So these women will have a hole where the urine leaks out, and she has no control over her urine. And in around 20% of cases, it may also be her bowel contents that leak out without control.
So obviously, to be leaking urine and possibly feces as well, it's going to have a big social impact on a person's life. Can you just explain what it means for a woman to have this problem?
Well, I think in any country, of course, for anyone to have a problem where they don't have control over their urine and their bowel contents is a horrific condition to have. But if we also look at the context of Ethiopia, these women are living in a village in a mud hut where she doesn't have a bathroom, she doesn't have water. Water might be a 3 to 5 or even further kilometre walk to get to so that she can wash. Most of these people, the hut that they live in, it's called a tukul, the entire family sleeps in that tukul. So here is a woman who is leaking constantly her bodily fluids, and usually her baby has died as well. So and she's also smells, and he will ask her to go back to her own family. Of course, when she reaches her own family, to be sleeping in a home with a woman with these fluids leaking is very difficult, and they will often want her to leave the family home as well. Not only that, this woman wouldn't be accepted to go to the market, to go to any gatherings, family gatherings, to go to church or to the mosque. So really she becomes a pariah in her community. And she's very much cut off from people.
Yeah, it has a huge impact. I'm speaking with Annette Bennett. She is the Vice Dean of the Hamlin College of Midwives, and we're talking about obstetric fistula and some of the problems that it creates for women in Ethiopia. Annette, you're also involved now in this midwife training. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, the hospital is very committed in providing, obviously, fistula repair in many corners of Ethiopia now. But we also want to direct a lot of our energies into fistula reduction or prevention. And one of those strategies, now becoming very quickly one of the major strategies, is this educating of midwives. And the whole focus of it was that we wanted to put midwives in the countryside where 85% of the population live and where fistula is occurring. So our commitment is to train women from rural areas of Ethiopia, and we actually travel to the different rural areas and select young women, usually from grade 12. We have an interview, and we have our own set examination, a short examination, and then, of course, we look at the government matriculation as well. And we've built a college just outside of Addis Ababa that's purpose-built. It's, in fact, the only college in the country that's 100% committed to midwifery, and wrote our own curriculum. It's a bachelor in midwifery, and the girls will come to the college. We started out with a 3-year program, and now that's been changed to a 4-year program. And our whole emphasis is to try and give a really world-class education to these girls so that they're highly competent. They sign an agreement that after graduation that they'll return to their community to work as a midwife for 6 years as part of, they've had a scholarship, and then they will serve for 6 years in the countryside. And we send the women back to their own communities. So Ethiopia has 80 different languages and around 120 dialects. So it's really important that we have the women who can communicate, midwives that can communicate with the women. Mm. And that's what our emphasis is, and that they have the skills to cope without the medical backup.
From the film, these women come from very poor backgrounds, and often their families are very poor. When they return to their community with their qualifications, who will pay for their work? Is there a salary to actually employ them?
Yes, there is. And we really believe strongly that it's important to strengthen the government health system. And in fact, our midwives are deployed into government health centres and receive the standard salary that that a midwife or nurse would receive. So we're working collaboratively with the government on that. But we have an agreement with the government about an ongoing relationship with those midwives. Even though they're in a government health centre, we visit them regularly. We've invested in upgrading the health centres as far as equipment is concerned. We're also putting solar power so that there is lighting in these health centres, and in some cases we're putting in a well so that there is water. We've secured land that's been donated from the local community so that we can build the midwives an accommodation as part of an incentive to stay. Mm. So we're funding that side of it. So it's a real collaboration with trying to strengthen the existing health system.
Sounds like a really good system. Wanted to, I guess, talk about the patient care in your organisation, and this seems to be something that came through very strongly in the documentary, particularly in regards to Catherine Hamlin. Many people said over and over again the way that they cared for each girl as if she was their daughter. What's the, the philosophy that you have in patient care and also caring for your students?
Well, I think Dr. Hamlin would testify, and I think any of us would testify, that we think that every person is valuable, and every person has the right to a high standard of care and to be loved. And I think that would be the motivation. If I can speak on behalf of Dr. Hamlin, we feel very blessed with... We have resources, we have skills, and we have knowledge, and we can work alongside Ethiopians as a team. We can care for these women, and each one of them is very precious. Mm-hmm. And I think that's obvious in the hospital when you see women arrive. It's often a hard journey. Women are not always valued in this society, and for them to come to a place where there are no obstacles and they are welcomed. And they can see the women around them who have suffered as well, and they can see the treatment that they receive. And I think with our midwives as well, we try to say to them right from the beginning, yes, they have come from poor backgrounds, but getting an education, we want them to understand that shouldn't separate them from the women around them, that they should always be valuing the women around them and not necessarily feeling superior to them. And for us, I mean, for myself, for Dr. Hamlin, I know, and for my husband, that comes out of our Christian faith as well, and the love that we've been shown by our Father, and that's the love that we want to show the women around us.
You actually get the last word in the film, so perhaps as we close, you could share your vision for the women of Ethiopia. What's your long-term goal in this work?
I think without a doubt our long-term goal is that we can try and eradicate fistula that was eradicated from the West well over 100 years ago. One of the things that I say in the film is that, we have blankets here, and if you come and you see the fistula hospital, you'll see that actually there is so much colour because of the beautiful blankets, mostly, that have been knitted in Australia and also in the UK and New Zealand, and a couple of other places, but definitely so many of them coming from Australia, and the women love those blankets. And as I said in the film, my vision will be that as much as I love to see these blankets around these women, it would just be so precious for us to see these blankets wrapping up babies, babies that these women have been able to deliver safely. And if we can see that in the future, and in fact it's our students who... talked about the fact that in the future, as they grow in their skills and they train other midwives in the future, we will be able to change fistula hospitals into maternity hospitals.
That would be beautiful, wouldn't it?
Great vision.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, Annette. And, I think this documentary will be great in just getting the word out there a little bit more as well.
Thank you, Katrina.
That's Annette Bennett. She's Vice Dean of the Hamlin College of Midwives in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.